This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And when you get there, say amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. And we're going to look at verse number 3. Oh, well, let's start with verse 14. Is that all right with y'all this morning that we start with verse 14? Amen. Thank you. One person says amen, amen, amen. I guess everybody else don't want me to start with verse 14. Amen. The Bible says in verse 14, 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, as obedient children. Notice it says obedient children. As obedient children. King James said, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. NIV says, do not conform to the evil desires you had lived before you got saved. It says, it's obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. It said, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. NIV says, in all that you do. Amen. And then the Bible says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen. In other words, live out your time as foreigners. Amen. Are y'all still with me? 1 Peter chapter 1 is the beginning of a letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to Christian exiles who were facing trials and persecutions in the Asia Minor areas. And for those of you who might not know, Asia Minor today is modern day Turkey. So you even get a history? What is that? Geography. You even get a geography class today. Y'all still with me? Amen. Modern day Turkey. Amen. And he wrote the letter to encourage them by letting them know that because they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God has given them a living hope, okay? God has given them a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance that will never fade away. In other words, an inheritance will always remain, amen. And he told them that through their faith, based on what they were going through at that time, he says, through their faith, somebody say, through my faith. Thank you. Through their faith, God was protecting them by his power. Okay? God was protecting them by his power until they received their inheritance, which is stored in heaven for them when Jesus comes back. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is coming back one day? Amen. And he's coming back for me. And I pray that he comes back for you also. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And he let them know that for that reason, although they were facing persecution and trials, although they will continue to face persecutions and trials as they go through life, you know, the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and he was resurrected and we have an inheritance, he said, for that reason alone, amen, that they could still rejoice even in their sadness. They can still be happy when they're going through trials and tribulations. They can still enjoy life when they're going through their trials and tribulations. All because God is protecting them by his power through their faith. Amen? Now, I know you don't see all of that. Amen. But if you go all the way to chapter 1, you can start, verse 1, you can start reading, and that's exactly what God, the Bible is talking about. So they are being protected, and God will continue to. And he says, because of that, when their faith, okay, when their faith remains strong through their trials, through their tribulation. How many of you know that you will know what your faith level is when you're going through trials and tribulations? A lot of people say, I have faith, until they start going through something. And then they find out that they've been lying to themselves, they have been deceiving themselves, because they're talking about, the Bible says we should walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and as soon as they hear something other than the word, they find out that they thought they had $100 worth of faith, and they end up having 10 cents faith. Y'all still with me? And how many know that 10 cents faith is not going to do much for us? Are y'all still with me? Amen. But he told them that because when their faith remains strong through their trials and through their tribulations, regardless of what Satan is putting in their path, when their faith remains strong, okay, it will bring them peace, it will bring them praise, it will bring them glory and honor when Jesus comes back. Because he is coming back. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. And then the Bible tells us, and let me get back to faith. See, that's why faith is so important. I know you all know that. But that's why the Bible tells us it's a lifestyle. We should live by it. Because the stronger your faith is, the more you will be able to be happy and joyous and glad, even when you're going through trials and tribulations. Because we will know that God will deliver us no matter what. So the more faith we have, the better we are to stand up against the enemy's attacks. Now, the Bible never tells us to fight the devil. That's why I don't understand why people are going around fighting the devil. They always say, well, I've been fighting the devil all week. Why are you fighting the devil? He's already defeated. He lost on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave his life so you and I can have life. So I don't understand why people waste their time fighting the devil. They should be taking time to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, because the Bible calls it a good fight, because if we fight the good fight of faith, we will always win, and that is good. But if we do not fight the good fight of faith, we will not always win, although Jesus has already given us his victory. We will not walk in our victory. And how many of you know that is not good? But that's why faith is so strong. Y'all still with me? Amen. And so Peter went on, Apostle Peter, he was apostle at this time. He went on in verse 13 and he told them, he said, based on everything I've said to you, he said, wherefore, because I've told you that, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, what he's saying there is prepare your mind for action. He said, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the coming of Jesus Christ. Do y'all see that? Okay. He says, gird up the loins of your what? Mind. In other words, prepare your mind. And the reason why we have to prepare our minds for the coming of Jesus is because Satan will get into your mind and cause havoc in your mind that will affect your life, and we won't even be focusing on the prize. We won't be focusing on what we're going to receive when Jesus comes back. We will be too busy focusing on what's going on, what Satan said to us in our mind. We'll be too busy focusing on our situations, our circumstances, our trials, and our tribulations. And the Bible already tells us that through our faith, God is fighting those battles for us. But if we don't believe that, we're going to let those things get the best of us. Because the mind, I've said it a million times, is the battleground for Satan. Now, he's trying to fight you. He's trying to destroy us. But God never tells us to fight him. The way we conquered Satan is through faith. In God. Not in my situation changing. I got faith things going to get better. No. You don't need to have faith that things going to get better. I got faith that everything going to be all right. No. You don't need to have faith in that. We need to have faith in God because he is the one that will change our situation. Are y'all still with me? See, when it comes to faith, we don't give God enough credit. Although the Bible says he gave us the measure of faith to start off with. We try to live by our own faith, and in many cases, it's the world kind. Christians, faith is not faith unless God is included. It has to be the God kind of faith. Y'all still with me? So once again, he told them to prepare your minds for action. That's what he means by wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. He said, prepare your minds for action. Verse 14, once again, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, the way you used to live. He said, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, in everything that you do. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. How many of you know that that letter written to those ex-Christian exiles who were scattered abroad was not just for them? How many of you know that letter is for us today? What is the Bible telling us? It said, don't focus your time, your life, your situation. Don't focus time on what's going on. Focus your life on being holy. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that we were called with a holy calling. If you're looking for a title for today's message, the title is Called to Holiness. Called to Holiness. We were called to holiness. And that's where our focus should be. Called to holiness. Are y'all still with me? Can you turn the ceiling mic just a little bit? I think I hear a little bit of humming coming from somewhere. So he's talking to us. Because a lot of people are going through trials, tribulations, situations, and circumstances. Even people might be going through right now. You know, this is the holiday season. A lot of times people go through, they get depressed because, you know, the world has have them focusing on money and presents instead of focusing on the real reason for the season. And they don't have any money, the money is low, and they I'll be glad when Christmas is over. Christmas is never over because Christ is never over. Y'all still with me? So, but people do go through. They get depressed, they get oppressed, and all other kind of presses. Why? Because Satan has attacked them in their mind. And now they're rushing to see. Listen, it's not the season, it's Jesus. This is just when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there are so many other things going on in people's lives, and we're focusing on those things instead of focusing on living a holy life. That's why God, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? See, we have to always remember, and I've said this a couple of weeks ago in another message, that God is always on our side. God is always on our side. Always. It's not over until God say it's over. It's not finished until God say that it is finished. Are y'all still with me? So in knowing that, as Christians, if you're not one, you can be one today. Don't cost you nothing. We cannot allow those trials, tribulations, situations, and circumstances cause us to go back and live the way we lived before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why the attacks come. The attacks come to us to try to get us to lose our faith in God. That's where they come. Because with no faith, we have no life. Because the Bible says the Christians should live by faith. So without faith, we have no life. And every little thing that creeps up on us is going to get the best of us. Why? Because of the lack of faith. I mean, we talk faith. I mean, you hear some Christians talk, you would think they have all the faith that's in the world. But as soon as they break a fingernail, and I'm not talking about Phoebe, I'm talking about just as an example. As soon as something small happens, all of a sudden they forget what faith is. And I'm talking about Christians. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. We must continue to stand on our own faith, and we must continue to grow our faith. How do we do that? Well, Deacon Ed told a message several years ago about growing in faith. I remember that. We grow our faith by hearing the word and then doing what the word tells us to do. And watch it, and as we do what the word says, we watch God do what his word says he's going to do. We'll experience it. Y'all still with me? So we cannot let those things get the best of us. We must stand on our faith, because the only way we will be able to be holy, because God is holy, is that we must be able to stand on our faith in every situation we face. Are y'all still with me? Once again, verse 13, he says, gird up your loins of your mind. In other words, he's saying, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. And how many of you know the lack of self-control is one of the main reasons why people are not able to live holy? They can't control themselves. But they want to control other people. But they can't control themselves. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. We can't afford to let what we're going through to cause us to lose our faith in God. Because if we do, we're going to end up living the same way we lived before we got saved. That's why Peter told them. He said, hey, don't forget. I want to remind you. I want to encourage you to let you know you have an inheritance. You win. You can still joy in your tribulations, in your trial. Because God is protecting you with his power. Who else? I mean, who else power do we want? You know, don't let me protect you with my power, because I'm not as strong as God is. God is protecting you with his power. Y'all still with me? Once again, the Bible says in verse number 15, it says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That tells us, Christian, that God expects us to live a holy life. He expects us to do that. Why? Because we were created in his image after his likeness, and he is a holy God. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1:26 that God created man in his own image after his likeness. How many of you know that man is the only creation that God created in his image after his likeness? I mean, the only one. I mean, God created the grass of the fields. He created the animals. He created the birds. He created all the living creatures. He created this. He created everything. He put everything in place. He created the sun. He created the moon. He created everything. And after he created everything, not before, but after he created everything and got everything in place. I mean, think about it. When you were born in this world, you did not have to look for light because it was already here. God put everything in place for us. When we were born in this world, we didn't have to wait for milk to be developed because it was already here. As newborn babes. All we would say is, goo, goo, ga, ga. Somebody would put a bottle in our mouth. Well, who do you think created the cows? God did. We are the only creation that God created in his image after his likeness. That means that God must think that we are special. The Bible tells us that we are wonderfully made. So God has a lot of respect for us. But he expects us to live holy because he is holy. Now, I want you to go with me, please, to Leviticus chapter 19. Because whenever the Bible says it is written, we need to find out where it is written. Y'all still with me? He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says, it is written. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Now stay with me. Are you there yet? This is the book of Leviticus. This is when God had already delivered Israel from Egypt, from the bondage of Egypt. He told them, he was setting things in things straight. He said in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speaking to all the congregation of the children of World of Knowledge Ministries. Speaking to all the congregation of the children of Israel and saying to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am what? Holy. Do y'all see that? He didn't say be holy if you want to. He didn't say be holy if you feel like it. He didn't say feel holy just to feel holy. He said, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, God wants us to have the same characteristics that he has. Why? Because he created us in his image after his likeness. Now, wait a minute. Don't let us stay with me because we're going to talk about holiness. Because a lot of people don't know what it is. Now, I'm not saying that you don't. But if God tells us how to live by something, we have to know what it is. Don't you want to know what it is? I do. Because maybe there are some things that we think are holy that's causing us to live holy, and maybe we are deceiving our own selves. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 20, the next page over. Chapter 20. Look at verse number 25. Once again, this is God. He said, you shall therefore, do y'all see that? He said, you shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean. Uh-oh. You shall therefore put the difference between clean beast and unclean. So right off the bat, that tells me that being holy have something to do with cleanliness. Because he's talking about putting a difference. In other words, divide cleanliness from uncleanliness. How many of you know before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were unclean? No, I didn't say you didn't take baths. I said we were unclean. We were spiritually separated from God because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. That's why the Bible says we must be what? Born again. And that's what Peter was telling them in 1 Peter. He was telling them, you know, in so many words, you all been born again. That's right, sir. That little baby clapping. Amen, amen, amen. I'm clapping with it. He says, you shall therefore, verse 25, put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the earth ground, which I have separated from you as what? Unclean. You know, I remember a song, some of y'all can relate to it, and the words of the song says, won't he make you clean inside? Won't he make you clean? He made you clean. Now he wants us to live in cleanliness. Are y'all still with me? He said in verse 26, and you shall be holy unto me. For I, the Lord, am what? Holy. Once again, we see it right there again. It's already in 19, we see it here. For I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people. In other words, set you apart. So that you should be mine. Do y'all see that? He said, I have divided you from other people. I have set you apart so that you can be mine. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 11. Since we read in Leviticus, go to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Once again, God talking to them about holiness. Are you all still with me? Look at verse number 43. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures today, but it's good to see it in the Word. Don't take my word for it. Look at what he said. You shall not, chapter 11, verse 43. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. Better stop. Look, y'all better stop creeping. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, so that you should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Now, this is amazing that God continued to introduce himself. I am the Lord thy God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. That's what it means. Sanctify means to make clean or purify. You shall sanctify yourself, and you shall be what? Holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He says in verse 45, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. In other words, I delivered you. I'm the one who delivered you. If I did not deliver you, you would not be delivered. Y'all still with me? And then he said here, once again, 45, for I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So we see in those three scriptures that we just read, those three chapters, that God is very serious about holy living. He's very serious about how we live our lifestyle. He's very serious. Once again, he made us in his image after his likeness. He says, I'm holy, so you all need to be like I am. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's very serious. Well, Pastor, what does holiness mean? I know you all know that because you all smarter than I am. I'm an icon on a computer screen. Y'all still with me? But we need to make sure we understand what it is and what it's not. Are y'all still with me? Let me tell you what it's not. Holiness is not walking around with your head down talking about you're holy. Holiness is not based on how many scriptures in the Bible you know and you can speak to other people. Holiness is not based on how whether you can speak in tongues or not. Holiness is not based on bringing all the tithe to the storehouse or not bringing all the tithe to the storehouse. Because when you do what God says, that, you know, that's an example of holiness. I have to reverse that, Elder David. I want to make sure I don't put on no bad information. Holiness has nothing to do with what you wear in many cases. Because in some religions, people say women can't wear pants. They have to wear long dresses down to their ankles. That's not holy. That's bondage. Y'all still with me? See, it's not those things are not what make people holy. Just because you come to the church every Sunday and Wednesday, that doesn't mean you're holy. Y'all still with me? That's because someone can pray a long time doesn't mean they're holy. That's a holy rascal over there. That's holy. No. Y'all still with me? See, we can't be deceived, because if God tells us to do something or live a certain way, we have to know exactly what he's saying, because if we do not, we're not going to be able to do what he's telling us to do. And everything that God tells us to do, that's why I love God so much. I love the word, because everything he tells us to do is found in his word. So all those things that I named, they are not holiness. It's not what makes us holy. But a lot of people think so, because they go through the motions and try to impress other people and try to look holy. And many times, if they're walking around thinking they're holy, they're actually looking sad. Sadness is not holiness. Y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, what is holiness then? I mean, you know, you named all these things. I mean, I thought they were some of these things holy. No. Holiness is a lifestyle. A lifestyle that is a sacred lifestyle. In other words, connected to God. That's what holiness is. To be holy means to be dedicated to God. To be set apart for God. Y'all still with me? To be, are you ready? Separation from sin. Because when you talk about things that are clean and unclean, how many know sin is unclean? And the Bible tells us to separate ourselves from things that are unclean. In the book of Leviticus, he's talking about animals, because that's what they dealt with a lot back then. But he's also talking about their lifestyle. If it's unclean, we need to separate ourselves from it. How many know sin is not clean? That's why God had to send Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? Holiness is walking in obedience, displaying God's love and God's righteousness. In other words, to make clean. That's what holiness is. Whether I'm in church or on the street, I still dedicate myself totally to God. I can't get wrapped up in the mess that the world is. What the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. I have to represent God at all times. Christian, that's holy living. That's what God is talking about. He's not talking about live where you lived before you got saved. He's not talking about go back just because you're going through rough times and you turn your back on him. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being totally dedicated to him at all times. That's holy living. I know we're not perfect. We mess up sometimes. But some people just sin willfully. They say, I'm going to sin. But when it comes time close for me to die, I'm going to ask God for repentance. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. It don't work that way. Sometimes, you know, people Say, well, you know, one thing, when they have, you know, at least they gave their life to Jesus. How do you know? Listen to this. God does not accept anything that is unclean. That's why people have to be born again. They have to be born again. And a lot of people in the world, and who comes to go to church, they've never been born again. They think just because they go to church, that's it. How many of you know Satan goes to church every Sunday? Pastor, how does he get in? What people bring him with him? Y'all still with me? We have to live opposite from the way we lived before we got saved. That's another example of holiness. We have to live a life that is pleasing to God. That's holy living. It's not necessarily, once again, based on what you look, how you look, or what you have on, or what you say out of your mouth. It's a lifestyle. It's like faith is a lifestyle. Are y'all still with me this morning? And how many of you know that Jesus Christ is our example of holiness? Because he always pleased God. You're in Matthew chapter 3, you know, when the Bible says the Holy Spirit ascended on Jesus like a dove. The Bible tells us that there was a voice from heaven that said, "That is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." And there are several scriptures where that voice was heard. They said he was well pleased. Even at the Mount of Transfiguration, right before Jesus was, before he went up to get seated on the right-hand side of the Father, he was having a conversation with the boys, if you will, about waiting for the promise of the Father and all of these things. And the Bible says, suddenly through the cloud, there came a voice that said, "That is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the scriptures say, it's in Matthew chapter 24, I believe. It says, "Listen to him." Matthew 17, verses 1 through 7. The voice said, "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." Talking about Jesus. That's what the voice said. Because Jesus Christ is our example of holiness. He was dedicated to God. He was set apart from everyone else. Adam was supposed to be like that, but he gave in. Through trials and tribulations and persecutions, if you will. In other words, he got deceived by Satan. He gave in. But Jesus Christ is our holiness standard because he dedicated himself totally to God. He was set apart from God no matter what. I want you to go to John chapter 14. No matter what, he was set apart for God. He's our example. John 14. Are y'all still with me? People are always talking about holy. They even sing the song, "Holy, holy, holy." Yep. But he lived any kind of way. God is all about cleanliness. Isn't there a scripture in the Bible that says cleanliness is holiness somewhere? Isn't it in the Bible somewhere? Amen. John chapter 14. This is when Jesus told them, "Let not your heart be troubled." Look at what he said all the way down in verse number 6. John 14. Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says, "If you have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen me." What is Jesus saying there? He's saying that when you see me, you know God because you see godly characteristics in me. In other words, he said, I'm living a holy life. And if you want to know what holy living is, he said, I'm your example. Because I'm dedicated to God. Y'all still with me? He said, Philip said unto him, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now, notice what's going on here. Philip said unto Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, I've been with you this long, and you still don't know me? In other words, he's saying that he has the same attributes, the same characteristics as God. He's saying, if you're looking at me, it's like looking at God. Don't you know the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 14, I believe, the scripture come to me, that people should be able to see holiness through us. I mean, when they look at us Christians, they should be able to see holiness. Isn't that amazing? Why? How is that? Because we should be holy because God said he's holy. Let's keep going with Jesus. He said, have I been so long, verse 9, with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, in verse 10, Jesus still talking. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, Jesus said, you're looking at me, you're looking at God. God is holy and I'm holy. He said, I'm not doing this of myself. I'm dedicated to God. I'm set apart for him. I do the will of the Father. And how many of you know that everything that Jesus did in the Bible was done in holiness? Everything. Everything he did was done in holiness. How many of you know that everything that we do should be done in holiness? Why? Because the Bible tells us, I mentioned it earlier, 2 Timothy chapter 1, that we were called to with a holy calling. A holy calling. Notice what the Bible didn't say there. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. You can read it when you get home. Notice it didn't say, when you read it, we were called with a gossiping call. Because gossiping is not holiness. That's gossip. See? Everything Jesus did, he's our example. Everything we should do should be done with holiness. See? Because by us accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, don't you know that we have received everything that we need in order to live a holy life? Did you know that? When I say everything, I mean everything. Because if not, how could God tell us to be holy when we don't have what it takes to be holy? See, Christians, we can't be holy just of ourselves. We need help. And help has already been sent. Number one, God sent Jesus. Number two, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us to live a holy life. Our holiness is based on how Jesus redeemed us. In other words, how he freed us from the bondage of sin. Well, how did he do that? Well, he shed his blood. He cleansed us with his blood. See? He paid the price for our sin. So we were freed from sin, uncleanliness, through Jesus Christ. We were freed from the sin nature. The sin nature. Pastor, what are you talking about? When Adam and Eve sinned, we got credit for it. We got credit for their sin. That's why we had to be born again. See, we had to be. Because we, when they sinned and we got credit for it, we were in bondage to sin. In other words, sin controlled us. Sin had dominance or dominion over us. I'm talking about the sin nature. Talk a little bit about that a little bit more in a second here. But Jesus Christ's blood washed our sins away when we accepted him as Lord and Savior. So sin, the Bible says sin has no more dominion over us. In other words, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we had no say-so in sin. We were controlled by it. But now that we've been delivered by the blood of Jesus, now we have a choice. Why? Because sin has no more dominion over us. We're redeemed. Go back to 1 Peter. Amen. Yep, you're right. You're exactly right. This is going to be two parts. 1 Peter. See, this is why people shouldn't miss church. Because they miss out on the word. Y'all still with me? We need to know. Because maybe we're deceiving ourselves and think we're living holy, and maybe we're not. I want you to look at verse 14. 1 Peter again, verse 14. Are you all there yet? The Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself, not living the way you used to live, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, King James says, NIV says, in all you do. Verse 16 says, because it is written, well, it's written, we know that's true because we saw it, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, God is not no respect of persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, here we go, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, okay? You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your forefathers. He said, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of who? Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Okay? No sin. No sin. That's what that means. No blemish, no spot. In other words, no sin. He says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times or last days for you. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. What is the Bible saying there? Well, Jesus Christ existed at the beginning of time. But his name wasn't called Jesus. He was called the Word. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt with us on earth. Y'all still with me? When he was in heaven, his name wasn't called Jesus. He was called the Word, because the Bible tells us in 1 John, there are three that bear witness of heaven, the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. And these three are what? One. That's how you get the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? So he was already there. But he came to redeem mankind. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible tells us here, once again, the Bible says here, he said in verse 20, 21, who by Jesus we do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope might be in who? God. Jesus did all that for you. That's why the Bible says have faith in God. See, the blood of Jesus washed our sin away. It released us from the sin nature. See, many of you know this, but let me just give you some history, since I've given you some geography. Let me give you some history. So don't you know, in the Old Testament, to cover the sins of Israel, of the people who sinned. Notice, I didn't say wash the sins away. I said to cover them for 1 year. The high priest used to have to go into the tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies, and sprinkle the blood of animals on the mercy seat to cover the sins for 1 year. And every year, they had to do the same thing over and over. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say, for instance, because, once again, sin is unclean. Let's say, for instance, that chair right there, pick whichever one you want, is a very dirty, unclean chair. And you, because you love helping in the church, you just happen to go get another cover for the chair, to cover the chair up, to hide the dirt that's on the chair, to make it look new again. But although you cover the chair up, underneath the cover, it's still dirty. And let's say the next year, the cover that you put on the chair is dirty, and you go and buy another cover, because you have such a great heart. You go buy another cover and put it on the chair to cover up the dirt on the chair. Well, the cover looks good. But don't you know underneath that cover, that chair is what? Still dirty. But how many of you know? The Bible says that Jesus Christ didn't have to carry his blood to God once a year. He did it how many times? Once. Because when Jesus' blood was taken to God, it did not cover our sins. It washed our sins away. What a mighty God we serve. It just washed them away. And don't you know, whenever you mess up in life and you repent from your heart, not just sin and say, I'm just going to ask God for forgiveness. No. You have to believe, you have to repent. That means to turn from your wicked way. If we go out there and do something and ask God for forgiveness and go do the same thing again, well, we didn't return from our wicked way. We didn't really repent. We just thought we did. Repentance means to ask for forgiveness and don't go back and do that same thing again. But don't you know, when you do it from your heart and you really mean it, don't you know that sin is not covered up? It is washed away. Are y'all still with me? Well, that's what happened to us when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Sin nature, or Satan nature, I like to call it, had no more dominion over us. Why? Because we was born again. It's like we started over in life. Are y'all still with me? That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, okay, chapter 5, verse 17, that of any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. all things have become new. It's not talking about, your looks going to change. It's talking about the old thing is the dominance that the sin nature had over you. You got rid of the old, and you've been made new. Won't he make you clean inside? That's where it starts. The Bible says in the same chapter, in verse 21, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? That means that when Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for your sins and mine, he became the sin nature. And when he was crucified, the sin nature was crucified. That's why he said, my God, why have they forsaken me? You know why? Because God wants nothing to do with sin. The Bible says God made him to be sin for us. And when Jesus Christ was crucified, guess what? The sin nature was crucified. Now the Bible says because the sin nature was crucified. Now I'm not saying Jesus sinned. Jesus never sinned. The Bible says that God made him to be sin. In other words, he was the sacrifice for you and for me. It's like in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice the animal. Like when King Saul disobeyed God. And he out there sacrificing some animals. Samuel said, what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But when Jesus sacrificed his life for you and for me, we were released from prison, from the bondage of sin. The blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. People just be singing, so I don't even know what they're singing about. We don't know how powerful the blood of Jesus is. I mean, I had a lot of sin. I still mess up sometimes. I have to ask for repentance. But before I accepted Jesus, I had a lot of sin. And he washed the whole of them away. Are y'all still with me? And for that reason, sin has no more dominance, control over us. We are no longer a servant of sin. And because of that reason, we have everything we need to be able to live a holy life. And God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, what keeps us from living a holy life? Well, how many of you know? I'm glad you asked that question. This Christian, you all know this, but I hope you see it in a different perspective. This is what stops us from living holy. Do y'all want me to tell you? I ain't gonna tell you, I'm gonna go home. No, I'm not gonna leave y'all like that. I have 2 minutes left. That's why we can't just quote scriptures. We can't just quote scriptures. We have to apply the scripture. Because there are two things that causes us to not live holy. Number one, your body or flesh. Number two, your mind. That's why. Because of the body and the mind. Now, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Go to Romans 12. Go to Romans 12. I'm almost done. Very familiar scripture. People know it backwards. Do we really know what it's saying here? I'm almost done. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Chapter 12. Y'all there yet? Amen. I'm looking at the clock. Y'all got to get my time back. Y'all taking all my time. No, I'm just joking. Amen. The Bible says in verse 1, very familiar. These are the two things that stop people from living holy. Look at the Bible says in chapter 1. I beseech you, therefore, Christian. No, say brother, but he's talking to Christians. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. What? Holy. Acceptable to who? God. Well, that's the problem. People do not present their bodies holy. They think they do. But guess what? The key is it must be acceptable to God. In other words, God wants to accept us as holy. But people do not present their bodies as holy because the body is the one that gets them in trouble by listening to the unrenewed mind. Y'all still with me? I like the way the NIV says it. It says, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Worship? Pastor, you talking about praise and worship? No, I'm not talking about praise and worship. Worship is not just singing a song on the stage. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a holy lifestyle. Y'all still with me? It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Christians don't do that. We quote the scripture, but we don't do it. And then the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. When we do not present our bodies a living sacrifice, we are being conformed to the world. We're doing things the world's way. And the Bible tells us how not to be conformed to the world's way. It tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The word transform means we need to change. Now listen to this. Go and stand to your feet because my time is up. He is talking to Christians. He is talking to Christians. You stand to your feet. You good? I mean, I know y'all want to keep on hearing this message because this message hasn't gotten to your spirit. He is talking to Christians. Y'all still with me? No, he didn't get mad. He's my friend. He ain't offended. He know I'm just messing with him. Said to some people, they ran out the door. Amen. He's my friend. Amen. It must be acceptable to God. If it's not acceptable to God, it's not holy. And the enemy plays on your mind. And the mind gives commands to the body. That's what the Bible tells us, to renew the mind. And I'm closing with this. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible never tells you to do anything with your spirit. You know why? Because Romans 1 and 2 is talking to your spirit, the real you, because you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in the body. You made in the image and likeness of God. In John chapter 4, verse 24, say God is a spirit. So that means if we do not present our bodies, if we do not renew our minds, we will not be able to live holy. And if we do not do it, it will not get done. Listen, God will not present your body a living sacrifice because he told us to do it. God will not renew your mind because he told us to do it. But the way it happens is that we must do it ourselves, but we need help. We need help. Well, Pastor, where am I going to get the help from? You already have the help. The help is living in your body. Because the Bible says your body is a temple of who? The Holy Spirit. He said to help us to live holy. He can't present our body. He can't renew our mind. But he can help us to live holy. Because when we line up ourselves, our spirit, with the Holy Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, Our spirit connected to the Holy Spirit, the body and the mind cannot do anything else but get in line. Why? Because we're not under the dominion of sin any longer. Christians, I'm here to tell you, our focus should be on not the trials, not the tribulations, not the situations, not the circumstances. Because God's going to take care of all of that as long as we keep our faith in Him. But we need to focus on holy living, holiness, being set apart for God, dedicated to God. And Jesus Christ is our example. He didn't just die on the cross. Like people, oh, he died on the cross. Okay, a lot of people died on the cross. Because that's how they did capital punishment back in those days. Did you all know that? A lot of people died on the cross. But Jesus did something special. He was resurrected for you and for me to free us from the bondage of sin. So we can walk in victory. And focus on being holy because God is holy. Amen? Part two next week. There's much more. I know y'all ready to go home, so I'm not going to keep you to 2 o'clock. But there is much more. What I want to ask you to do this week. Meditate on this lesson. This one. I know some of y'all go back and look at old lessons. Meditate on today's lesson. Even if you have to go back and listen to it again. You have the victory. But we have to get the body and the mind in line with the Holy Spirit. Then we can do what God tells us to do. Because He is very serious about holy living. Amen? Somebody give God a hand of praise because He's moving. What a mighty God.